Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and welcome to the show. It is a glorious day here in the South. You know, we always talk about the weather in the beginning of the show because I love to speak to the guests about the weather where they are. Kind of makes me feel connected to someplace else. Just a little change. But here in the South, my goodness, it has finally broken 80 degrees. Of course, that's only going to be temporary because in 2 days, it'll be back up over the 80s again. I'm really looking forward to wearing long pants, but I don't think that's going to happen too much soon here. And, you know, I'll never wear that coat or that sweater again this year, it seems like. So today, we're going to be talking about healthy eating, healthy living, and naturopathic medicine. What is naturopathic medicine? My goodness, that sounds like a word from, you know, out of the ages, or I have no idea what you're talking about. Is this something new fad and, you know, people are wearing Birkenstocks and carrying that green goop around in their jars? And I just don't even know if I really want to go there. That's what a lot of people are saying. So once they hear the word, you know, they think you have an antenna sticking out your nose and 10 eyes. But really, naturopathic medicine has been around forever. Because even when we go back into the books, into the 1700s and the 1800s, the therapies that naturopathic physicians use, like homeopathy or botanical medicine, or even just eating better or taking care of yourself, are all there in the doctor's journals. When we look at the New Orleans Pharmacy Museum, which is in downtown New Orleans, as soon as you walk into that door, it's the world's oldest pharmacy. In the left-hand side are the journals of the doctors with all of their pictures of plants and flowers and how they benefit your health. And you see these little tubes with little white pellets, and they're all around. That's homeopathy. So this is not new medicine. This is just medicine that's taken a back seat when what I call the medicine we think of today, I call it technology medicine. Because, you know, the more technology and the more internet and the more this, that, and the other that people learn, I call it technology because it's bringing us forward. What more can we develop? We're not just taking how we can heal from nature and what we can do simply. We're looking at something else outside of ourselves to fix this. So today we're going to speaking with Dr. Rob Stressfield. And he's a.k.a. Dr. Rob, so you'll hear us say Dr. Rob the entire time. He's a licensed doctor of naturopathic medicine as well as a certified natural gourmet food chef. I don't know about you, but if they tell me one more time that you need to eat this or you need to eat that, or if someone comes to me, they're saying, oh, did you hear about this product, and they're telling me a brand name. And I said, no, don't tell me the brand name. Tell me the item in the brand name that you're looking at. That's what we're going to be talking about today. He spent most of his career as an educator and a spokesperson for several leading nutraceutical manufacturers, so he can really take the lid off of this topic. Let's talk about a brand name or an item in the brand. So he'll be speaking to us today about how to eat healthy, maybe looking at your life and some of the simpler changes you can make, and he'll also be giving us his version of what naturopathic medicine is. So, Dr. Rob, welcome to the show. And how was the weather in your area?
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm actually in South Florida at the moment. I do travel quite a bit. I'm often known as the nomadic naturopath because no one knows where I am. But I am in South Florida, and today we're a little bit overcast, probably around 80 degrees, so not too shabby. They're expecting a nice dry front coming in the next couple of days, so the weekend's supposed to be bright, sunny, dry, a little breezy. Should be a good day to go check out the beach and get some vitamin D. So,
wouldn't you love to wear a long pair of pants, though, for a change? Come on. I mean, it's nice and hot. Well, I'm sure you do, but what I'm saying is, you know, you love the cool weather sometimes, right?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I grew up in upstate New York. I'm a ski bum. Right. I know when the falls and the leaves changing and that cool brisk air comes in. I enjoy that. I lived in Chicago for about 4 or 5 years recently, and there's nothing like a Chicago winter to make you want to come down to the beach and stay out of it.
Right.
But you know, I do like a little bit of everything. I definitely like the seasons. I like the change in temperatures. It's you know, people talking about Christmas and the holidays and winter while it's 85 and everyone's walking around in bathing suits and T-shirts.
Right.
It kind of doesn't have the same feel. So,
Well, you know, just like you're talking about, you and I, both about the weather and the changes in the different locations, that's definitely how people look at their food and their lifestyle, too, because I know we always talk about here in the South. I would put pictures out about how they eat here brown and white. Everything is either fried or sugar. And, you know,
right.
And we look at lifestyles and the way we do things. So if I'm someone in South Florida and that's all I eat is healthy and fresh and I'm out in the sun every single day and my body is working because I'm walking and everywhere, and you contrast that to somebody in the Northeast who it's freezing cold, I'm inside, and you want me to buy a cucumber in December? I don't think so. So we really have to take into account all of the diverse people and everything that's going around their areas and say, no, if you're in the North, you don't need to seek out that cucumber in December. You need to just eat for what's in your area, and it's seasonal in your area, right? And, like, that confuses so many people because they get these books and they're like, it says I have to do this. Oh, man, I'm on the search for that, you know? And how you and I might be able to dispel that idea that really doesn't have to be, right, for healthy eating?
I think it's a great area to start on. You know, I went to a vegan, vegetarian culinary school. I have a lot of raw food clients and friends. I lived out in Los Angeles many years ago when the raw food movement was still pretty underground. And I was invited to this special co-op where it was like 1 or 2 days a week on a specific area, and you had to kind of like know where it was, and you had to be on the list to go there because it wasn't really acceptable, but there was such a raw food movement growing in the California region, and mainly because of the climate. You know, when it's warm out,
right,
and sunny out all the time, it's okay to be on that more raw, fresh. You know, those foods are detoxing, they're cleansing, they flush the system out. But then I went to New York, and I went to New York in the summertime to start my culinary program, and it was, you know, a lot of people were doing the raw, the vegan, and they were happy people. They were really excited. They felt good. But as this winter started to arrive and it got colder and colder, they weren't happy people anymore. They couldn't, you know, they couldn't keep their body temperature up enough. They were always cold. They were wearing like 12 sweaters. It was ridiculous.
Right.
And I said, you know, sometimes cooked food is actually a warming food to the body, and you know, soups and stocks and stews and root vegetables are grounding. These are things that when it comes to this time of year, that's why everyone talks about roasted root vegetables and big stews, and maybe you could get out the crock pot. If you're in a climate where you start to feel a cooling temperature, these foods are not just nourishing, but they're warming to the body itself, and people don't get that sometimes.
I think we always try to think about the body as being in balance. So what I always say to clients is, if it's hot out, find cooling foods. If it's cold out, find warming foods. That's it. Simply that. You know, instead of, I have to pick from this list and I have to pick from that and how do I cook it and, you know, get into all that confusion. Sometimes we really have to drill it back to how simple it can be. You know, here, the biggest thing right now coming up is sweet potatoes and yams. But the biggest difference is maybe I don't need to put that whole pound of brown sugar with 5 yams and 2 bags of marshmallows to be able to eat it. It's like, are you really kidding? Oh, and I forgot the 1/2 pound of butter. But anyway, you know, so it's just like, let's take off one thing this year, you know, let's take off the marshmallows. How about that? And they'd be like, oh, no, I'm not taking off the marshmallows. That's the fluff. I said, okay, so I'll make it and you'll see if you eat it. So all I did was cut everything in half and leave the same amount of the basic, the yams. And, you know, you just have to take your time when you're making lifestyle changes, because I'm sure you've had this happen and so have I. We give people that say, oh, I can do it. And they come back a month later and it's like, what did you do? And it's like, oh, I forgot that list you gave me. You know, they're just not ready to make all of those changes. It's just too much. So I think, you know, if you could give us a few tips on how to just maybe make those really core basic one or two tips, you know, and like I say, another one or two tips in 6 months, you know, and take your time to get to healthy eating.
I'm all about the tips. You know, it's interesting, when I used to lecture 10 years ago to a room of 100 people and say, and we start talking about probiotics, you know, out of 100 people, 5 or 10 may know what that word means or meant. And now, fast forward, if I go with 100 people in a room, 5 or 10 won't know what that word means. And it's nice to see the evolution. It's nice to see that the improved awareness by people today, and that the health importance of health is becoming a focus. The challenge, it used to be a small selection of things to do to be healthy. Now there's a plethora. There's so many things that people can do that, you know, it actually comes down to picking a couple things at a time, one or two things, and just getting those comfortable in your lifestyle as a habit, and then picking one or two more things. And it's saying that there's so many options now, we have to filter them down. And again, it's a good thing, but it can be overwhelming to many. You know, down here in Florida, we have a more elderly population. Typically, you know, they go to snowbirds or their retiring area. And it's interesting, I go out into the restaurants to eat, and food has no taste.
Right.
And it's amazing. The food has no taste. Even if it's a simple dish, and I'm like wondering, why does this have no taste? First of all, they say, well, as you get older, you lose your taste, you know, your taste sensation or your ability to taste foods. And but more importantly, people are afraid of salt. And especially elderly with high blood pressure. And I think that's a real big mistake, to think that all salts are equal or are created equal. And I know I'm a big advocate of sea salt, personally. As a chef, salt adds flavor. Salt elevates and brings up and enhances flavor of foods. And if you don't have salt, you know, you're often missing, not only missing the trace minerals and the nutrients from a good sea salt, but you're missing the enjoyment of eating the meal. You're not satisfied. So,
I think we talk about a lot of misconceptions, too, because, like you said, with the misconception with the salt. I mean, here we live in New Orleans, and, you know, and hotter than blazes in the summer, and everybody runs to these energy drinks, these things, electrolyte drinks. And even after a recent marathon they had here, the tables were everywhere with all of those drinks, with the electrolytes, and the runners are pumping them down. You know, runners that don't run every day were out there, and they're pumping these things down and everything. And within, like, at the 15-mile mark, people started dropping. I mean, they were laying on the ground, and they're like, what is going on? It's only 85 degrees. It's not 110 like it usually is. They started dropping. And what was happening is that their blood pressure was shooting through the roof, and they were maxed out on these electrolytes, and they just collapsed. So we look at, you know, I mean, the same misconception with the salt is with these electrolyte drinks. It's like, no, you don't need to pump all those things down. My husband did it after Katrina because there was nothing else to drink in the area, so they were giving them away, and he was drinking them and working outside in the hot sun. And one day I took his blood pressure. It was in the 200s, and it's like, what is going on? And it was just that he had drank four of those every day. And something as simple as cutting it out brought it right back to normal. So, you know, people are, you know, as you and I know, are getting a lot of information from different sources. And they really don't know how to sort that out. So I'm sure you've seen that a lot.
Yeah, sorting it out is the challenge now. It's not about finding information. We have access. We have the internet. We have tools that we didn't have just a few years ago. But now it's the filtering aspect of it, and that's one of my passions. You know, as one of my as I said before, the nomadic naturopath, the feel good foodie, but also your concierge to better living. So it's not about telling people what to do. You know, it's not saying you have to do this. You know, you can't do that. That's not my style approach at all. Mine is, how can I help you? What goals are you trying to achieve? What options do we have here to, you know, look at and figure out what's going to work best for you as an individual? You know, there's, you know, someone says, oh, I want to lose some weight. Well, there's probably five different things that any one person can do to lose weight, you know, but they might not want to do three of those five things. The idea is finding the one or two that they do want to do or will do and commit to, and that's going to be what's going to be the right move for that individual person. And I can imagine, I went to school, I went down this course not to become this professional. I went because I was sick when I was younger, personally, and I couldn't get answers, couldn't find out what was going on. Doctors weren't giving me information I needed, so I went and started studying. I started studying traditional medicines and cultures, anthropology and agriculture. I started studying natural medicine. I started studying philosophy. I started studying food and nutrition. And then after all this time, I mean, 10, 15 years of study, you know, then I realized a lot of these answers. So I can imagine how hard it is for an everyday person who didn't take 10, 15 years of studying this specific subject matter, how overwhelming and confusing it can be. And I just feel now my role is more of this resource and trying to help people feel less confused and help to make some suggestions. And the one thing I realize is that what works for one person probably may or may not work for another person, right, similar to them. It's not a one-size-fits-all kind of equation when it comes to healthy living. And I tell people you got to listen to yourself more and don't be afraid to experiment and don't be afraid to make mistakes. You know, and life is a journey, and you have to kind of explore it as much as you can.
I think sometimes when we talk to people, we always say you have to have a healthy diet or healthy nutrition. And those words really need to go into the background, because that's not really where the people, meeting them where they are and bringing them forward. Because sometimes it's just, how can we make a change? It's as simple as that. I would have clients that they would be drinking 2 liters of Diet Coke a day. If that, you know, if they've been doing that their whole life and they're in their 50s, and you turn around, you say, you know, what are you willing to change? And they're like, nothing. And I'll say, okay, for 1 week, just drink regular Coke. Hey, we all know that that's not the best thing to do, but it's a change. So they did it for a week, and then they went back to the other, and they said, oh, that other stuff tastes like a chemical. And we said, yep. So now they're just on the Coke. So then, okay, it was, how can we break up the Coke paradigm? Instead of, you know, 2 to 4 of those a day, maybe we can just do two of those a day, and then water. And that has taken some people here in the South. I'm telling you, they're still on that path, and they're still not gotten there. But that's a change for them, you know. I mean, when you look at little kids, this is another thing about media and what is told to people, and they're like, oh, well, that's better, that's better. About the sweet and low and the equal paradigm, you know. Let's take right. that because we'll, quote, lose weight. It's better for us. And I've even, you know, gotten newsletters from hospitals where they'd have recipes in, and it would say 40 packs of sweet and low. And I'm like, are you seriously kidding me? And it was under diabetic nutrition, and it's like, I don't think so, you know? And how are you finding, you know, those same things in your practice, and how do you speak to people about them?
You know, again, it's simple to say, you know, I'm actually working on a new book right now, and it's kind of going along these guidelines. It's saying, if I told you all these things you had to do to be healthy, most people would just go, blah, I'm not going to do any of this. I'm just not going to be bothered. I'm going to do whatever I want to do, you know. But if I told them that here's a huge list of things you could do to be healthy, and I want you to find whatever resonates with you. I don't care. I'm not going to judge you. It could be a really easy one. It could be a really challenging one. It could be one of each, you know. But those are the ideas, saying what works for you. You have to kind of, I've learned I had to meet people at their own level sometimes. I had a young adult, 24-year-old male that was introduced to me by a friend, and he said, oh, you don't want to talk to me because I smoke cigarettes. I said, well, we obviously are on the same page that cigarettes are not your healthiest option, but what else do you do? Like, they didn't want to talk about all the positive things he may be doing for his health. He just focused on the negative, and that's where we are in society right now, I think, is we focus so much on the things you're not doing right or not doing well, versus really embracing the things you are. So if he was going to gym 3-4 days a week, he was doing yoga a couple days a week, he was trying to cut out fast food, he was trying to, you know, eat less red meat. He was eating, taking a general male multivitamin from a health food store that he didn't think it was that good, but he was still trying to take it. This is all the stuff I had to pry out of him, you know, after he had already kind of tried to dismiss the conversation because he smoked cigarettes. And I said, look, you know, if you want to stop smoking cigarettes, I can help you with that. If that's not your focus right now, why don't we focus on the things you are doing and maybe tweak them and make them a little bit better, a better multi, a better diet, this or that. And your body probably won't even want the cigarettes as much once you're actually feeling better and more nourished and healthier. So it's usually meeting people on that level, because he said, you know what, almost all the doctors and all the people he spoke to always gave him a hard time about the cigarettes and never even got to the other things. You know, it was just always so focused on the negative. I am not a perfect person. I don't think anyone is. Everyone has their vices. I don't want to be judged by others. When I choose to go out to a restaurant and know that it's maybe not be the most ideal healthy food that I could be putting in my body, you know, the body is designed to have room for error. You have detox organs. You have pathways of elimination. You are set up to have some imperfections in your life. So the idea is not to abuse that, you know, take advantage of that, but the idea is to recognize that there is some room, you know, a little margin of error that you're entitled to so that you can enjoy and be happy. You know, if you're not happy, I met a lot of people that are health enthusiasts. I'll be nice not to call them health nuts, but health enthusiasts that aren't happy people, but they're healthy, they think. You know, and I'm like, well, what's the point?
Right.
If you're not a happy person, if you're not enjoying your life day to day, but you're avoiding this food, is that really going to be – what's the purpose then? So, you know, meeting people on their level, making it simple to digest initially. What I find is when you get people onto the health path or the healthier living path, or I call it the path towards a healthier ever after, as my book title is, the idea is that they actually enjoy it. It's almost like it adds to the effect. Like once a little thing happens, the momentum builds, and next thing I know, I got people coming back to me, telling me things to do to be healthier because they did research, because they're excited about it, they feel better. So when people don't feel good, the first thing to do is get them to feel a little bit better, because that makes a big difference. They start to notice that the change, you know, a little change here and there makes a big difference, and it steamrolls into a much, bigger effect. And, again, the whole idea is everyone's individual. No one's perfect. Everyone has their vices. Someone's like, oh, I love chocolate. Well, chocolate's not that bad. You know, if you're taking 15 packs of Sweet and Low every day, you know, that's probably not good. But let's find the alternative. Let's show you what xylitol or stevia or other sweeteners or raw honey or those are, how that could play into your lifestyle. Give them the options, and they usually embrace it once they know it's not that hard to do.
Well, you know, we were sitting at a restaurant, and the table of people that were with us, and every single one of them got unsweetened tea, and they all reached for the containers of the Sweet and Low and Equal, those packety things. And every single person, this is about 10 people, they all put 4, 5, 6 of them in. Now, in the South, when it's hot, you know, you don't just drink one glass of something. Well, they don't here. They have like 5, 6, 7 glasses of this stuff per meal. So you're up to 25 packets of this, and I just had the hardest time sitting there watching this. So the next time we went with that same group of people and they started to do that, we had said, do you know what that product really does to your brain? And they're like, no. So we told them. And within 2 seconds, they called over the waiter and had it all removed and got new glasses, and they just had water and lemon. Now, they may have made a change for that meal, but that was great because they actually, somewhere it caused an imprint in their head. They're going to think about that next time. They may not make that change right up front, but they may think about that. And then eventually do some more research or talk to some other people and then make that change. So we do... as we do with this show, as I sure you do with your clients and places that you speak with others, is that we're just instilling little seeds. We're just putting the ideas out there. Hey, maybe you want to look at this, because potentially, eventually, it will become your habit too, right?
Right. You know, I deal a lot with young people in 20s and 30s because their habits aren't, or even younger sometimes, because their habits aren't so ingrained. As if someone that's been doing this thing for 30, 40 years, and you know, they're more hesitant to make changes. But there's also this millennial age, this younger demographic, I think has great potential for us to shift the societal mindset, because not only are they aware, and we have this information, the internet and all that stuff, but they're watching their parents, baby boomers or what have you, struggling right now with health based on 30-plus years of bad habits. So they're saying, oh, wow, that maybe wasn't a good idea to do this or do that, or you know, maybe I should learn from that. And they're also the ones having you know, babies and children now. And now they're responsible for other life forms, and they want to figure out, how can I protect this child and how can I nourish them properly? And so that demographic is really where I'm focusing on now, specifically because I look at psychology and responsibility and habits and patterns, and they seem to be the ones that can make a shift, and again, incorporate that to the next generation much easier. If you start seeing kids, I have friends that have like 5-year-olds that were raised eating on vegetables and organic and healthy, and they don't even want the garbage. They don't want the candy. They don't even like the chemical paste. They're turned off to it. They're not adulterated by that, you know, synthetic mess at this point. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to see this potential of next generation making this shift towards a healthier way of life from the beginning. And that's kind of the hope we have to hold on to, and not to give up on the elderly, you know, and the ones that are, you know, a little bit older and ingrained in their habits, not at all. But to realize that it's harder, you know, they say that teach an old dog new tricks. It is true. It's more challenging for me to get my parents or their friends to make changes than it is for, you know, I'm a little bit younger, in my 30s, you know, my age or younger, to recognize the importance of these changes. So,
you know, I'm in my late 50s, and what I have noticed is that when I grew up, we only had butcher and this, you know, the farms down the street would all have their food out at the end of the highway, and you just go by and drop your money in a little basket and take what you wanted. And, you know, the dairy was still the glass bottle of the milk. Now, I mean, I'm not that old, but that is the way it was in the area we lived in, because we lived just north of the Amish people in Pennsylvania. So, you know, it lasted there a lot longer than it did in most parts of the country. But that's how we grew up. So I look back at all of my ancestors, and to this day, they're all living, the women are living into their hundreds, you know, 110, and that is just the way it is, because they never got on that pony. They never rode that ride of fast food. It's still a rural area where we grew up, and, you know, people just don't do that there. It's just the way of life. And when I come down into the South, I'm like, oh, my goodness, the weather's so great all year round. Why are you not growing that much here? But really, their culture here is more of chemical plants and different things like that, and rice and tobacco. So that is what the area indicates. So I'm sure you've found in your travels is, you know, as we've said in the beginning of the talk, people of different areas have different thoughts on, you know, what is healthy and what isn't. But again, too, now, if we look at the younger, you were speaking about the younger people, how to change them. I have a lot of clients who the family is totally fast food, and they're like all this outdoor stuff. And then a lot of children now with autism, ADHD, and income, what are we going to do? And the answer is diet. So for the people that start to take these kids and really rework their diet, that diet is now for the whole family. So I think while the incidence of autism has risen, so has the incidence of parents making changes across the board. Where before, I don't think if something was like, you know, if there was a really no instigator out there to say, I have to change my diet, they weren't going to.
Yeah, we are definitely a reactive society, not a proactive society. You know,
right.
We're reacting in the healthcare system and everything else. We're a disease model, not a healthcare model. But yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that it took such a horrible circumstance of this, you know, high level of autism to make people, or especially parents, want to make a change. You know,
right.
It was, you know, but first, let me backtrack to like my grandparents. I'm thankful to have 3 of my grandparents still alive in their late 80s, and their constitution is stronger. You know, they were, you know. And like I said, the butter they ate was, you know, the food they got was more local and fresh and not preservatives and processed. It was all, so, you know, they're stronger constitutionally, but they're still being, you know, taxed by, over the last several years, all the artificial and processed stuff. they were introduced to as in this is better for you through TV and marketing and advertising. Now they're realizing, you know, that wow, we got duped. But I dealt with a lot with families with autism and children in that regard.
Right.
My mentor is Donna Gates, the author of The Body Ecology Diet, which has been for 30-plus years working with digestive health and microflora, you know, the good bacteria in your gut, and how to make cultured and fermented foods. I met her when I was in culinary school, and, you know, it kind of turned on my light bulbs as far as all my studies kind of came together under Donna and her philosophy. And, you know, we see a lot of improvement just by changing the diet, making eliminations of certain ingredients. Not even with just autism, health in issues in general. Like, they say that gluten is a fad. There's no way that gluten issues are a fad right now. When you see when people can go off gluten products, wheat products for 2 weeks and see such dramatic changes in their health and losing weight and less inflammation and skin improvement, you know, and so forth. It's food plays a definitive role, but so does gut flora. So on one hand, we want to say, okay, watch out for these foods like gluten that cause inflammation or cause irritation to your body. But why is your body no longer able to handle that gluten or that wheat is another whole conversation. So do you need more beneficial bacteria? Do you need more probiotics? Do you need certain things, not just eliminate and avoid, but what else can we do to support the actual body itself? And nourish it to be a stronger vessel so that it can digest. When I was younger, and as I said before, I was sick, where anything I ate, anything, gave me heartburn and reflux and indigestion. My digestive system was completely upside down. And now, not only can I eat just about anything without heartburn or, you know, anything, doesn't mean I'm going to eat anything. Doesn't mean I'm going to push it and eat garbage just because my body can handle it. But I didn't just avoid all these foods. If I avoid all the foods that gave me heartburn and indigestion, I wouldn't be eating. It would be like three things I could probably put in my body. So it's one thing not to just live on the avoiding, but it's also about how can I strengthen my body and strengthen my digestive system. And these are some of the tools that we're teaching, especially as naturopaths, you know, is not just here's your symptom, here's what you got to avoid to have that symptom, but here's what your body needs or here's what you need to do in a lifestyle way or approach so that you can be stronger in case you happen to have that substance or eat that food, you know, or something comes across that you didn't expect. You know, that's a big part of what I teach is not just the avoidance. It's about what is going on in the underlying aspects or of deficiencies or imbalances that we need to strengthen at the same time of avoiding it. So I think the parents are learning that as well. You know.
But also, too, a lot of parents right now and what they're doing is if you're saying, I want to do a avoid gluten, they're going to the grocery store and finding their products that have no gluten, which is still into that paradigm of let's buy a product instead of let's learning how to, give nutrition or nutrient-dense items to our body, which is totally different. I mean, if we still keep along that same paradigm, we're going to have a grocery store that will be an aisle of all the same products that you've been used to that say no gluten. We're going to have another aisle that's going to say no dairy, but the same product,
right.
You know? So, I mean, where does that get us? That really doesn't get us anywhere. That just gets us a transference. It doesn't get us away from that.
Well, I think there's two parts there. I mean, one is people are avoiding gluten and then you look and replacing it with these processed products or these food products,
right.
Or heat and serve products that are filled
right.
with rice and potato and hopefully not so much soy, but all the other sources to replace the gluten. And what we will see, and I'm pretty confident about it, we will start to see a growing allergy trend on those ingredients.
Yes.
Because
yep.
we're still not nourishing the body and fixing the body, and we're not sticking with the foods that the body was designed to live on,
right.
more fresh, raw, natural foods. So
right.
part of me is, you know, again, the baby steps, you know, the one step at a time. So,
right.
you know, when we talk about that, I do feel there is a place for consumers or people going to looking at other products, you know, to replace what they're used to having that has a higher quality level of ingredients. So it still may be processed or, you know, heat and serve kind of thing, but you're if you're going with the natural sweeteners and no chemicals and no artificials and no gluten and trying to get more natural, that's a good first step. What we have to keep promoting to people, though, is that's not the last step. That's part
right.
one of a transition. You know, we want to, you know, because I do this myself. I mean, went to culinary school. I learned how to cook from scratch. I like cooking fresh foods and simple vegetarian meals or simple basic meals. It all comes down to spices, which we know have medicinal components and healing properties to it, you know, that they aren't being utilized. I mean, the studies right now on turmeric alone should be incorporated. Like when I make eggs in the morning, I add turmeric to it. Like why? Because it's such a great spice. It has all these anti-inflammatory, anti-cancer, all these other beneficial properties to it from research is showing nowadays. But I wouldn't just say, you know, live on turmeric. So you're still going to have your foods. And so I tell people, if you're going to get a prepared food or a heat and serve or a fast food type of item, the ingredients should still be, or the consumer should still be looking at the ingredients so that they're better quality. This is moving forward. It's another evolution. However, you still want to incorporate some basic cooking skills. You know, I find that the high school kids, college kids, something or most of them don't know how to do basic cooking because their parents were so busy working they didn't do basic cooking. So we've lost this basic skill of putting food in our mouths that we made ourselves, that we prepared ourselves. And I'm a big advocate of that. I'm a big advocate of showing people how to make simple dishes at home, you know, that aren't complicated, that are healthy, that taste good. And it usually ends up motivating someone to learn more dishes. You know, I tell you, if you look up online and find one recipe a week that you have never, you know, done, maybe it's a food that you used to make, but you're looking for a healthier version of it. But try one new recipe a week, one meal a week that's new, and it maybe doesn't come out good. Maybe you don't like it. You know what? So what? Next week you try something else. But the idea is constantly introducing new items, new skills, and maybe your repertoire of recipes completely transitions from, you know, bad ingredients to good ingredients, even though they're the same kind of foods. The idea of cooking to me is the art, is kind of having fun and having a palate and just playing with it with your paints of flavors and colors and ingredients and having fun with it. And I think people take it way too seriously and it's too much work, per se, versus just sitting back and enjoying having some fun in the kitchen, especially if you do it with a friend, a loved one, a family member. You know, that's the whole benefit side of being somewhat food-oriented or food-focused.
I think some of the kids that are in their teens, late teens and 20s, we always think about, oh, the college weight that you gain or whatever. But if you look at colleges, they only allow one item in your dorm, and it's a microwave. So, of course, these kids now for 4 years are learning, what can I microwave, you know, or what can come in a can, a box, or a bag because I don't always have, you know, a refrigerator there or whatever, and I have a microwave. I can just pop those things in, and this is the way we're going to cook. And that kind of sets them up for some habits when they should be out on their own and learning what to eat, and they learning now microwave. So really, we've kind of set them up for that paradigm by having that restriction for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you go to a health food store, a Whole Foods, and you sit down around a college campus, which I've done quite often, and just to see who's going through those aisles and who's buying it, I see that high school, college, you know, young adult, you know, going to the, you know, salad bars and getting their foods, and they're definitely shopping there. You know, if I told you how many people ask me about juicing or, you know, different recipes using my Vitamix or things like that, you know, that demographic is very engaged, and it does pose a challenge to things like institutions, like you said, like a school that is concerned about the liability or the safety of the student, where they don't want a stovetop or a gas burner or something like that, where the microwave seems to be a safer option. But yeah, today more and more looking at it going, what am I giving up for that one safety? Am I doing damage to my health as a result of it? And I think more and more are coming aware of it. I think people are opting to have a Vitamix or a juicer in their dorm room versus a microwave nowadays.
Yeah.
At least I hope that's a trend. It's still a long way to go, I know. But
it depends on your area. My kids all four of them had all microwaves. That was it. I mean, we'd be doing a new microwave every single year because they'd be burning the thing out, and it got to be so crazy.
Right.
Because then when they were in their first apartment, I would say, "What are you doing?" She says, "Microwave." And it's like, oh, Lord, you're still in your early 20s. Why are you doing this? You know, and it's like, well, there's nobody here to cook. I'm just microwave, you know. So.
The other good thing, though, is the options on campus, though, are improving. You know, the schools.
Oh, they are. Yes, they are.
And so now the students actually have in their cafeterias or their school, their options on campus. I was just speaking with, the dean, Dean Mittman at Southwest College. And they're doing a campus expansion, and one of the things they're going to be incorporating in this new campus expansion, this new building, is a restaurant, a cafeteria of sorts, as well as a teaching demo kitchen, because, not only for their faculty and the students, but also for the community, because, again, we're promoting a healthier way of living through nutrition as a foundation. And if we can incorporate that on campuses, especially when it comes to not just naturopathic colleges, but college campuses all around. School lunch programs are a huge trend, healthy school lunches on all levels. Obviously, there's always a budget concern when it comes to state-funded or federally funded programs, but look at Jamie Oliver's, trying to make changes on the school levels and on showing that it's not that more expensive and not that hard, to offer better food and better food options. And I think that's something that we're seeing a good trend. And I hope it continues. I hope to help it continue. I'm actually, like I said, talking to Southwest College about helping to make sure that food that's offered to on campus is at our level, what we would like to see, and hopefully that becomes an example for other colleges to incorporate, because this is something that we feel is very important, especially while you're trying to educate the young people and nourish them, their minds. Yeah, nourish their bodies at the same time.
Well, Dr. Rob, we have about 20 minutes left. I wonder if we could talk a little bit about nutraceuticals or supplements or vitamins or whatever you might want to call it along that paradigm. Because, like I said in the beginning, people come up to me 100% of the time and say, "Hey, what do you think of this product?" And I'm like, "Or have you ever heard of this product?" And it's like, "No." And then they think that you don't know your job, or why do you not know this product? They're kind of like, why do you not know it? It's like, well, you didn't tell me. You told me a brand name. You didn't tell me what was in the product, And really, how we need to change people into that idea is about not knowing. We don't need to know the product name. We need to know what's in it. And that's so much more important, because we don't want to all think that we're, victims of the media again, and that we're all victims of multi-level marketing. I don't need to worry about, 20,000 people said that it was great for them, or 100,000 people said that they lost weight on this, that, or the other. And it's like, okay, fine. And, I just step back and just say, all right, great, let me know. And because we really want to start having people paying more attention to items and to labels. I mean, we have to do it with a food, which is starting now. But I really think with vitamins and stuff, it's so much more important.
Well, I think it's a great area. It's one of the key focuses of my career over the last 10 years has been this kind of concern. And it's not as cut and dry as I'd hope to have to give you a response. When it comes to consumer products, nutraceuticals, vitamins, supplement products, there's different levels. There is the direct-to-consumer, which is the infomercial, the commercial on TV saying, buy now and blah, 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 and you'll lose weight and all this stuff. And then you have the supermarket. Go to your local supermarket or even your Costco, and you'll have the brands and the products that are available there. And then you have your professional line. You have your products that doctors only carry. And how much better are they supposed to be just because they carry it in your doctor's office? And then you have your different tiers of health food stores and what kind of brands and products are they carrying. And our conceptions or misconceptions that one maybe is more quality than the other isn't always accurate, because I can tell you I've worked in a little bit of all of these you know, parts of the industry at some point in my career because I wanted to be familiar with it, because I felt that it was confusing. And I can tell you that some products found in a health food store are good or if not better than some of the ones that are practitioner only. And that's not because the practitioner means to give you a bad product, but because there's more competition to get on a shelf in a health food store sometimes, and there's a bigger company behind it, so that they actually have more researchers looking for innovation and new ingredients. So, and then you have some marketing companies that spend a lot of money to convince consumers that it's a better product, even though it's not that much better or it's actually not good at all. So it's very confusing. I have a lot of practitioners. I tell a lot of our colleagues as naturopaths, as much as you get educated or informed about professional or doctors-only products, I recommend going into your local Whole Foods or health food store once a week and talking to the people in the vitamin aisles, the employees, about what do they see, what are the new products, what are some new ingredients, what are the top brands, what do consumers like, because you need that kind of market understanding. And not just be blinded by the professional-only lines. And, again, if I knew that there was a simple cut and dry and say this is the only way to do it, I would give you that answer. What I do personally, I believe in supplements as much as I can that are food-based. So when I talk about, so for a multivitamin, I prefer using whole food or food-based vitamins versus the USP or synthetic ingredients simply because it's food source. And your body knows what food is more than it does something that we made in a lab or something that was copied from a plant. I'd rather use the plant. So using herbs, using whole food supplements, using natural, you know, non-adulterated ingredients is really what's preferable. The other thing is consumers, you said something about they might know a brand, but they don't know the ingredients. Very often they don't know much about a brand. So one of my goals, I'm working on a TV show right now, and working on some other things to help, like you said, these challenging questions is how can I trust this company or what do I know about this company or brand? What do I look for when I say, my doctor says or I've been told I need omega-3s or, you know, fish oil. Which company, there's six of them right here in front of me, which one should I buy? And the truth is that consumers typically choose based on a few criteria. One is very often price. You know, if it's cheaper, right, for me, you know. Number two, they are familiar with the brand. Either they use that brand, you know, for another product they take already, or on TV, or family or friend referred them or suggested to them. So there's some sort of credentialing or qualifying for that brand. Or they trust the employee or their doctor, whoever's recommending it directly to them for their purpose. And those are okay, but I always impose the consumer to get as much information for themselves as possible. I'm trying to help, you know, in the next, you know, 6 months to a year or then some, help to filter this out a little bit. But it's definitely, you know, an issue that needs to be addressed as more and more people are looking at and seeing how important it is to take supplements. You know, just to wrap up that, this, you know, in my book, Healthy Ever After, I made my own nutritional pyramid. The foundation of this pyramid is food. Food is still the most important way to nourish the body. While we still have real food available to us, and again, that's trying to avoid GMOs and non-organic and chemicals and pesticides, but while we still can get real food, food is still our foundation. The next tier is supplements. And again, I told you, I prefer whole food or food-based supplements because, again, closest to food and closest to what the body can recognize. And the top of the pyramid is IV or intravenous nutritional infusions, which you need a doctor, you need a trained professional, and it's not for everybody. But for those people who aren't eating well or who won't take supplements, I find it to be a very valuable resource. And that, you know, we can always expand upon that at another time, but, you know, it is important to keep the body nourished, and that's the bottom line story. And however you choose as an individual to do it, you have to listen to your body and try to keep it as clean and as close to how the body functions and operates as possible.
You know, and also, too, about supplements, while it's great to hear from your friends or to find out from an infomercial, it's also about dosing because I don't know how many times, you know, I would talk to people and they would say, oh, that product just didn't work for me. And I would ask them, well, what did you do? And they said, well, I took just, you know, one every day or sometimes I forget or whatever. And it's like, did you read the label? It says four a day. you know. It says to take four a day. And so they said, well, I'll do it. And just even the other day I had someone email me. They said, wow, I've been taking one a day of that, and you told me to take four a day, and this is only the second day, and there's such an astronomical change. It's because what you see on the counters in these stores or on the Internet or anywhere with supplements, you have to read the labels because of the amount of that product that's in there. Maybe what you need, but you need a certain amount. See, how do you get for people to understand that they need more of it instead of less of it because it's cheaper, you know? And how to get up to that level where it actually is doing something.
Well, again, that's where in my let's say practice or in my career, most of what I do is educate. Because when I talk about, someone comes in with a specific ailment or issue, I don't start going to how are we going to treat it. We step backwards and say, how did this develop? Where did this come from? And I want the person I'm working with or I'm helping to understand the big picture, not just how we're going to fix it, but understand all facets of it. And we work on the education part of it so that when I say you need to take this amount, like, for example, I'm a big probiotic guy, and you'll see products out there, some say 10 billion, some say 50 billion, some say 200 billion. And then the number, they're like, oh, so I should get the one with the most, right? I'm like, well, no, because you have to understand how is it made. Is it made, a certain way? What other ingredients are in it? Is that number guaranteed when they made it or guaranteed when you take it? Because it could be a year between the time or 6 months between the time they made it or you took it. Which are they telling you that number qualifies as? So it's always come down to education, which is why I love working, lecturing around the country and traveling, and hopefully we're going to get this new TV show going and new books out and, have a lot more focus on education. Because, as the doctor, the root, docere, to teach, we are teachers, we are educators, and I think the key is to have patients or clients or what have you that want to be good students. The idea of learning to live and live well is a lifelong process, and people have to be engaged as a student to learn how to make those good choices, how to read labels on bottles or food packaging. If you have to be engaged. And again, that's why I feel, again, not to be, a dead horse, but like the younger demographic, the ones that are still in school, still can relate to the idea of new learning, of how important it is to get new information and new knowledge to fit into their daily lifestyle. And, I believe that teaching on a regular basis, I'm always learning something new. I'm constantly listening to podcasts. I'm trying to read new books. I'm searching the web. I'm reading new articles because even if I feel I have a good grip on something, I'm always wanting to continually learn to live a better, healthier life. And if that's the takeaway lesson for today would be is you never know it all. If you meet someone who says they know it all or they're perfect or they know everything about something, they're completely the ones not to listen to. Because the best doctors, the best professionals, the best, healers I've met are the ones that are always feeling there's more to learn, there's more to gain, there's more practice to be had to become better at what you're doing. And that's why I tell people all the time, don't feel you got to do it right the first time. It doesn't have to be perfect, but you have to continuously try. And it's that effort of moving forward that can lead you down that path towards a healthier ever after.
Well, Dr. Rob, we're coming to the end of the show. It was really great having you on. I was wondering if you could give us, we have about 4 minutes left, you give us some information about your upcoming, as you had said, about your show, your books, your website, how people could reach you. That would be great.
Sure. My pleasure. Again, it was my pleasure being on the show, and I appreciate the opportunity. I love, hopefully inspiring, getting people excited about the possibility to live healthier, to feel better, to get the most out of life. My website, as in most of my most of the ways to find me, is very simple. It's all Doc Rob, DocRob as in boy, DocRob.com. It's Doc Rob at Twitter. You can find me at Doc, Facebook.com/DocRob fan page or just Doc Rob. Either one will find me. I made it very simple. And again, if people have questions, you can always email FYI@DocRob.com. Trying to be a resource, I'm always here to try to help. And the TV show that I'm working on and we're filming the pilot. We're filming part of the pilot at Sizzle in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to probably crowdfund on Indiegogo or something like that, the pilot, so please, you know, stay tuned, connect with me, because it's going to be exciting. The TV show is called For the Hip, Health-Inspired, Health-Informed Person, because when I started this 10, 15 years ago, this me wanting to be healthy and do natural and eat healthy, I was the weirdo out there. I was the strange bird. And now it's the cool thing. It's the hip thing to care about your health. And I want more and more people to recognize that the people that know about healthy living are the hip people, that they're cool people, that they're in the know. And this is information for the hip, from the hip. Living well and feeling good is the coolest thing you can do. So For the Hip will hopefully be coming out soon. The book is in development right now. It's called Not Just One, Take Two. It's, again, a hip guide to better living. And, you know, it's a lot of exciting projects, so I hope that anyone's listening got some benefit from today's talk and will stay in touch and keep listening to your shows because I think they're great. You know, sharing information with the audience is awesome. And if they want to, you know, stay in touch with me, follow me on Twitter or get involved and connect on Facebook or, you know, keep checking my site. I promise to start putting up more stuff on my DocRob.com site as soon as I can.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. I know so many times people are confused about how to make choices, and I think we spoke pretty much both ends of the side today about how to make choices, you know. How can I make a good choice in supplements, and how can I make a good choice in foods? And we don't always have to jump into the Birkenstock, you know, in the green group, right? So I think that's really great for people to know that, is that, you know, make your individual changes because you'll eventually get where you need to be.
Yeah, I think, again, there's a lot of choices made, you know, sometimes to connect with a good healer, a good guide, a good coach, you know, and you know, definitely more than one opinion is always welcome. You know, not one person knows everything. So like I said, if you meet a health coach or a natural doctor, anyone that claims to know everything and know all things and do it all right all the time, I'd be wary. Just like any supplement that says it does miracle things or, you know, has the fountain of youth or, you know, melts 800 pounds without exercise or changing your diet. You know, those things would make me nervous as a person out there. Use some common sense, and of course, if you have questions, you know, stay in touch and ask questions to people like me who want to be there as a helpful resource to kind of filter through some of the challenges that we face today. But again, the bottom line would be is if as long as you're, you know, putting an effort in, as long as you care about yourself, your health, your family, as long as you do small steps and make small changes, you know, you're on that path and stay on it. It's very rewarding. It's worth going down that path. So I'm here
well,
to help you on
that
journey.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. It's really great having you, and I'm sure we'll have you on again in the future. So thank you very much.
I look forward to it. All right, you all be well, and I wish you all the best in health and happiness.
Great. Thank you so much. So if you'd like more information about Dr. Rob, his links are on today's show page. You can click right there, and it'll take you directly to his website, where I'm sure he'll be posting more information about his upcoming show and books. Also, the link is there where you'll be able to purchase his current book, and it is available on Amazon.com. So thank you so much for being with us today. Healthy eating, healthy living. It's always just about shifting from where you are today, making a simple change, and you'll just do great. Don't knock yourself about it. You don't always need to be perfect. Thank you so much for being with us today, and until tomorrow, this is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and have a great day.